Today's episode of Watch Our Crap Happens is brought to you by our Patreon super premium sponsors, Christy Dougherty, Kelly Barlow, Jess Sayin, Cindy Burgess Gerson, and Kelly Grant.
Watch what crap happens, watch what crap happens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crap happens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everybody, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and The Banter Blender, and joining me as usual is Ronnie Karam from trashtalktv.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor in Paradise podcast. I don't know, it's hard for me to say paradise. Hi, Ronnie, what's up?
Hi.
How's it going?
So good. You know, I love a Friday.
Me too. We are basically like a week away from our live show in LA, September 2nd. Go to watchacrappens.com. Get your tickets there. Need we remind you one more time? Jeff Lewis, Jenny Poulos, Gage Edward, all from Flipping Out, will be making an appearance there, which is special enough on its own. But in addition to that, we are building a weekend out of it. There will be an after party. There will be a scavenger hunt the next day. We will be selling Crappens poetry at the live show, and it will only be available there. You've seen on our Instagram. We will have merchandise. We will have everything. We bought a tablecloth for it. It's going to be amazing. 1 week left to get tickets. Get them now, because once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah, and if you have not checked out our bonus episodes yet, we do them every week on Patreon. And this week's was a deep dive on the Real Housewives of New Jersey trailer.
Yeah.
And we laughed our asses off for 45 minutes. So if you want those, patreon.com/watchwhatcrapping.
Yeah, go check that out. Oh, and one other thing about the live show, we will be recapping the seminal New York City episode of Scary Island, the Kelly Ben Simone, Bethany Frankel. We've never recapped it before, so why not use this live show as a perfect occasion to do so? So those are things to look forward to. WatchAcrappens.com will send you to all the links you need to buy tickets. And that's about that. You should do it, okay? Because it's your destiny. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All right.
So, it's our destiny.
It's our
to teach the Real Housewives of Auckland.
That's right. Today we're talking Real Houses of Auckland, and then we'll do a little Crappens mailbag at the end. You know, the journey continues for us here in New Zealand.
It sure does. The ladies are getting ready to go on their first cast trip to Port Douglas.
Yeah.
Sounds very exciting.
Port Douglas. It's, you know, and in typical fashion, we must sit and watch the women pack, and they need help packing, and they need to come see each other pack and watch each other pack and ask questions while they pack.
So many bikinis and so many discussions about bikinis and how many you should take. And girl, that's a lot of talking about, bikinis.
Well, first we begin with Michelle, who's packing, and she's like, if anybody knows about packing for exotic holiday, it's Gilda. I'm like, really? Okay. I didn't realize she was expertly suited for this occasion. No pun intended.
She does social media. So she's very good with bikinis. It's like, okay, Michelle. It's like total model thought pattern going on over there. So weird. And what did she say? Dave reminds me of when my weight was overweight. What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. I just know
we do this show so long after I watch it that I'm like, huh? At least usually I can piece some of this shit together, but
all I know is that Michelle's packing a bunch of caftans. That's all I know.
Yeah, she's like, do you like this? And Gilda's like, yes, you could wear that over a bikini. It would look lovely. And Michelle's like, really? Do you think so? Just staring at it. It's like a see-through Asa caftan, okay? Like, it's a pretty solid yes or no. Okay, just put it on. Shut up. So seriously. Michelle's like, if we want fashion advice, we should ask Angela here. And they start laughing. And she's like, oh, that one. We went for coffee. I thought she would be there, like she want to be friend. And then she went on about a book about being real. Like, she doesn't get it, you know?
Your Gilda impersonation is so on point right now. Like, you really got those things, because she has that, thing. The way she talks, she always just sounds just like totally bothered to even get a word out of her mouth. Went to coffee.
She does, and when she does her talking head, she's like, oh, that's all you've got. It's one of my favorite lines of hers.
But that's all you've got. I'm going to have fresh start with Angela in Port Douglas. That's what I'm going to do. Hopefully she live brand at home. And Angela, Port Douglas. I don't know.
I like when they show the clip, because she says, she always has this face with her expression. Ooh. Even when she's arguing, it's like this. Ooh. And then they cut to the argument. Angela's like, well, you're saying this isn't my face? This is my face. And this is my face, and it doesn't go away, just like your face.
That's how faces are. Well, I don't know about you, but I saw Face Off, and faces can come off. I don't follow. Nicolas Cage became John Travolta. John Travolta became Nicolas Cage. And CCH Stop bound a burned and building.
Oh, CCH, that's another one.
Like, so what are you saying? Are you saying that I'm really you and you're really me? Yes.
Well, I've got a face.
It's terrible.
You've got a face. Nicolas Cage has a face. Can't we just all have faces together?
Joan Allen has a face.
I'm done with this lady. So she goes, hopefully she will come and chill axe. Good one, Gilda. Glad you learned that. So Michelle's like, well, glad you could help me with the caftan. But I have to tell you about this other party, Eddie Necton Cliss. Then we see clips. And she goes, and it didn't stop there, hon. Julie was talking about sex toys. And then they show a clip of Julie talking about sex toys. And then a clip of Julie like, I thought I'd bring out the sex toys. It's like, Jesus, narrators.
I know. We get it. You could just show a flashback and save 5 minutes from this show.
So then, she brought a whole bag of sex toys over. And she goes, a bag? Santa must love her.
Gildazing. We then go over to Louise, and for some reason when Louise frames a scene, it cracks me up. She goes, I love girls trips.
I do them all the time. Girls trips.
I love
at least once a year.
I love a girls trip once a year, almost as much as I love an acting class.
You're right, the frame of the scene is so good. She's like lying on a couch with her feet up and crossed and flicking through an iPad against a window looking over a lake. It's like, okay.
Here on Perisher Tribe Drive, we have nothing to do but look at iPads and invite Ian over for spray teen.
I've invited Ian over to my home for a spray teen. And then it's Anne outside. Louise has invited me to our home. We're going for a spray teen. I've never had one. They look quite orange.
Here on Peritage Drive, I didn't know there were tanning salons here.
They cut to the spray tan lady. I was invited to this house to do spray tan.
Anne's like, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to have much of a spray tan, as I once had a terrible reaction to hair dye. Turns out, my whole head swole up. Doubled in size. You would have thought I was from Mongolia.
Like, this feels problematic.
You know.
You're kidding.
You know, one of those big-headed Mongols with their sensitive skin, their hair dye. You know, big-headed Mongol. You never seen a Claritin commercial?
Those are balloons.
Oh! I thought those were Mongols.
Having silver tea service at Louise's is nothing new for me. I love perfection myself.
And I like that they always just keep the camera rolling with her face just serious. Like silence. Then she's told about the sex toy, or she tells Louise about the sex toys and stuff. And, or they just talk about it. And Louise is like,
oh, yes, the sex toys. You touched one. She's like, what part of?
Because Anne said,
you know, she looks like we look down on her, which we do, but she's overly sensitive, you know? And I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw those sex toys. And she's like, well, you're the one who touched one. She goes, well, what part of can't believe my eyes did you not get? I touched it. I didn't believe my eyes.
And they're like, all right, now time for you to get dressed for your spray tan. She's like,
as if I'm going to put on a G-string in someone's kitchen. Ha, 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 ha.
I guess so, that is more like it, huh?
Well, it's a little bit of both. So Anne, she, you know, she's a good sport. She gets into her G-string and, you know, she gets into a bikini right there. And then Louise is basically playing around with her jewelry. She's like, I don't know how to describe her jewelry. I think I'd say it's for old ladies, basically. It's not for my mother. It's for my grandmother, really. It's basically Queen Victoria. That's what she is.
Very Duchess of Windsor.
Yeah.
And Anne's like, well, in the end, I got railroaded into this. And Louise is like, in the end, I've railroaded her. And the tanning lady's like, well, in the end, we railroaded her.
And then the railroad of New Zealand's like, in the end, choo-choo, Anne. Am I right?
It's got Angela's face on it as it passes.
I think a keen.
So she gets in and says, oh, it's quite cold, quite cold. It's like a cat in winter.
Louise is like, you could audition for a Bond girl. And Anne says, well,
if she thinks I'm going to get Botox and a facelift after this, she can forget it.
And then Anne makes this comment about bikini. She's like, honestly, I'm not going to get a bikini. You know, I think anyone who's 21 who's wearing a bikini looks a bit off. Am I right? And then they cut directly to Julia walking around her house in a bikini.
As awkwardly as possible.
Yeah, like a like a sickly giraffe.
It's like if someone got a flamingo and they kidnapped it and then just left it on the freeway. It's like walking around like, what the fuck is happening right now?
It's like, well, I guess I might as well pick up the litter now. Bette Midler's staring at me.
And her husband is like turning red. He's like, which is nice that, you know, you can still make your husband do that.
Yeah.
And she's like,
I can't wait to show me stuff to the girls. I can strut my stuff better than they can.
I'm the best strutter than there is. I strut better than anyone.
So then Julia says that she's going to be, she's at this vacation, Julia is going to try to be the peacekeeper. She's like, I'm just going to be calm, be happy, and calm. Like, good
yes.
luck with that.
I know I'm not going to get an apology out of him, so it's over now. And now I'm just going to be a peacekeeper. You know, I'm sure they figured that when they said I was a gold digger, that they just expected that. But, you know, it's all right. They didn't mean anything bad by it, right? Right? They didn't mean anything bad by it, did they?
Jeez, lady.
Oh, God. This is just amazing foreshadowing because the next episode is the one where she apparently drops the N-word, which is horrific.
God. She does?
Yes. That's the big controversy with the season. It's happening next episode.
I thought that was Real Housewives of Sydney that they said it was too disgusting to keep going.
It was Sydney. They want to retool Sydney, but New Zealand, Julia says the N-word. And it's all, I mean, it's going to be bad. But here's the thing. The act will be horrific, but you know the fallout's going to be hilarious in terms of Julia. Like,
look,
her self-pity.
Yeah, I'm going to choose to look on the bright side and just guess that she is singing Gold Digger to herself, you know?
She's like, you can't keep calling me a gold digger and not expect me to finish out the lyric.
Well, what else rhymes with broke?
So Angela and Leah are favorites.
Oh, yes.
So Leah is all dressed up. Like, she looks like she's going to Leah prom, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think
like
that
a dress barn, nice dress barn, blue, flower in her hair or something.
I figured out Angela's strategy. She figures if she keeps dressing Leah like a flight attendant, she could actually sneak her onto the plane to Port Douglas and not have to pay for her.
Now, where are the exits, Leah? Let's go through this again.
So Angela's bringing...
Help people put on seatbelts if you don't understand how to put one on your own.
Now, Leah, let's practice having the little baggies fall out from the ceiling, all right, without you getting startled. Okay. Now, next time that mask falls down, don't jump and scream Zootalor. All right, let's try it again. Oh, you did it again, Leah. I'm so sorry. Oh, so sorry.
I'm going to take Leah to get a pedicure because it's important for us to look good while we're spending time working our giant business. It's important to take this time to center yourself and calm down. I have to do things like this, Leah. Otherwise, I can't keep it running 100 miles an hour.
And then she shrugs and, like, laughs to herself.
Yeah.
And they scrape, like, 3 inches of toe fungus off of her. Gross.
Yeah. Angela is in full fakery mode. She is, like, really pushing this idea that they just can't afford to stop business, right? You know, they can't go to Port Douglas and stop business. So Leah has to come along to keep the business going. Business, business, business. Board of Directors Committee meetings.
You know, the phone will be nonstop, Leah. So you'll have to answer. You'll have to put on an English voice. You'll have to say, hello, it's Angela. Do it, Leah, do it. And he's like, oh, you'll do well. You'll do well.
I'm going to teach you the art of work and play. And Leah's like, madame.
It's like, Leah, I would like to teach you something. Let's take a look at my Instagram feed.
For some daily inspiration.
It's a place of magic. And inspiration. For example, look at this comment. You helped me through cancer. And look at this one. You large griffin beast. Please stop eating children. Wait a minute. That must have been meant for someone else.
Look at this comment. Account expired. What? Oh.
No, so she reads from... So Angela apparently puts up daily inspiration. I don't know why we are not following her on Instagram. We will. She puts up daily inspiration, so she's reading her daily inspiration that she put up to Leah.
When making herbal tea, leave the tea bag and allow all the nutrients to soak in the water. Let your body absorb as many vitamins as possible and take the time to reflect on what's happening in the world.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, it's called...
That is amazing.
Like, listen, Leah. I mean, listen... Angela, I appreciate your desire to give us some inspiration, but we don't really need a step-by-step process on how to make tea. You put the bag in the water and let it steep, okay?
Let your body absorb as many nutrients as it can.
Our bodies are like tea bags. That's why I say every day I like to go tea bagging.
Julia's like, oh, so I'm not the only one then. Right? Right? Right?
Paranoid. Leah's like, oh, does this mean I have to make tea for you now also?
That's right. I hope I've inspired you to make tea for me from now on.
Then she goes,
all right, Leah, that was some very hard work. Let me dream.
She closes her eyes and she nods to, you know, she nods. She's like, now,
call this person, call the bus stop people. nod to chicken about a cover. And when's the next magazine come out? Magazine, PR, modeling, fishing.
New staples. We need new staples for the stapler. Let's see.
I've got it. Let's place some ads.
And her eyes are closed, like she's dreaming this all up. I mean, this lady is fucking nuts.
She's literally doing like Minority Report with her task list. All right, swipe to the right. All right, swipe to the right. All right, we need new vacuum cleaner. Swap to the right. Use the vacuum cleaner. Swap to the right. New tea bags. Swap to the right. Okay, we need some Lipton tea. We don't want to spend any for the expensive stuff. All right. Oh, ask the good people at Maxwell if we can get a tour of their house. Just tell them it's me coming. All right, that's great.
Make sure it's over 10 million. We'll make it up with the ads.
All right, let's talk to the precog, see if they've got anything else for us. All right.
And when she feels like she's being too nice to Leah, she's like,
and the next thing is to get me car fixed.
Oh, poor car. Poor car. Poor, poor car.
Don't cry, Leah. Let the pin cry for you into words. Also, remind me to add that to my Instagram later.
Now, let's talk about Gilda. She's like, do you think I'm fake? Do you think I'm fake, Leah? And Leah's like, no, 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 no.
I apologize, but she just wants to move on and pretend it never happened.
Yeah, she's like,
fake. She said I was fake, fake, Leah.
I mean, I can't help it. I'm my own brand. I am who I am.
I was like, this is the real me. I will not change my world. She doesn't know. What she doesn't know about me is that I make all my own money, and I'm a brand, and I'm self-made. Do you understand, Leah? And Leah goes, well, maybe you should be nice. She's like, oh, if she was my friend and was kind to me. But she's rude. Do you understand the word rude? She's like a snake, a rude snake.
Maybe you don't remember on behalf of being traumatized from crashing my car. That's all right. You probably crashed some words out of your vocabulary. We'll get them back in there.
That fake snake just wants to make me cry. The way I cried when I heard that you crashed my children's transportation device. Don't feel bad, Leah. Don't feel bad.
Now, a wonderful scene happens next. Anne decides to take her nephew, who is, he's like a tween, he's like 12. She takes her nephew Rowan to tea, and it's amazing.
So good. She's like, so good.
She's like, all right. She's like, tea service. What were you telling me about some tea you were given the other day, dear Rowan? And Rowan's like, ah, yes, I received some white tea, some Chinese white tea. I hope it wasn't served by a Mongol with their giant heads getting in the way of all the tea service.
Don't worry. It was $500 a box. She's like, oh, ha, ha, they are into their tea, those Chinese.
Well, at least we have some nice serviettes. I can't stand paper serviettes.
And Rowan's like, me neither.
Yes, Rowan.
They are not the nicest.
Now, Rowan, dear Rowan, how's the mackerel? He's like, no offense to the chef, but I'd call it average.
Oh, that reminds me of the picky palate of Mary, Queen of Pusses. May she rest in peace.
So, Rowan, you enjoy pussy, yes?
Anyway, Rowan, I bet you thought this tea would be all fun and games. Well, guess what? We're having an impromptu etiquette test. How do you hold a champagne glass?
With three fingers on the stem, you never want to hold it by the glass section. That's right, Rowan.
Well done. Have a macaron. All right, next question. Say we're having a very important multi-course dinner, perhaps for a charity to save pussies. Now, question. There are many forks and knives and spoons and whatnot all lined up. Which way do you pick them out from? Inside out or outside in? Which one, Rowan?
We make the Mongolian do it after we slap them off the back of the giant heads.
Very good, Mongolian. I mean, Rowan.
But Rowan actually goes, he's like, from the inside out? And the music goes, boom. And boom. Anne just looks at him and she goes,
no. That is incorrect.
It goes outward to end. Big black mark.
Dun, 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 dun.
He's like, oh. Now sip that tea there. We don't want to look like we're at a trough, do we?
So the Rowan asks her if she ever tried to have kids. She goes, oh, absolutely not.
I haven't even had six, Rowan. And he's like, ooh, TMI.
What's that? Is that a new drugstore? Too much indulgent kitty cats.
That is wrong. Big black mark.
We then go off to Port Douglas, and Louise, in case we've forgotten, she goes, I adore girls' trip.
I've done them all my life.
I go overseas at least once a year. And then they get out of the car and they'll get champagne.
Champagne. And my favorite is that when they show like Angela and Leah getting out of their van at the hotel, they play accordion music. It's like this French accordion music. It's like, where's the Edith Piaf?
She's got like 20 rolling suitcases that she's trying to pile on top of each other. Poor Leah. And then as everyone else gets out of the van, they're like, well, it's lovely to be here in Port Douglas.
Oh, yes, look. Then I went with the girls to Port Douglas. Oh, here we are in Port Douglas with the girls.
Guys, we know we what's arrived going on.
In Port Douglas.
Port Douglas.
So they're all shading Andrea. They're all like, why did Andrea bring Leah? So they all think that Leah's just for show. Everyone agrees. And now it's time to split up people into their different, they all have different little villas. So Julia, Michelle, and Gilda are stuck in a room together, in a villa together, which I feel bad for Michelle and Gilda. That sucks.
Yeah, it sucks.
Louise and Anne are sharing, and then Leah and Andrea get their own villa too.
I don't like sharing. I hate sharing, but I didn't tell her, of course.
But there was a lot of like huffing and puffing about the sharing. I don't share. I don't share. Here's one thing I don't do. I don't share. What is sharing? I don't share. But then they get there in villas. They act like they're all going to be in one room. You all have your own room. I know. Calm down.
I think only one person has to share a room, right? Or two people
have to share. It's Gilda. She has to share with another empty single bed.
Oh, I thought she had to share with Michelle.
No one's sharing.
Oh, God. These people are so ridiculous. Yeah and they're really pretty. And Anne's like, I could only share with Louise because we were brought up the same way.
Like, just straight. The camera just keeps rolling.
Now, Louise, etiquette test time. We'll see who truly is the weakest link. Goodbye.
In from the inside or the outside?
I'll stick you with the fork if you don't shut your face. Like,
I love Louise. We're the same. We could take the Mickey out of each other.
So, Angela, was I calling Andrea? I meant to say Angela before. Angela and Leah, they are headed to their villa. And of course, Leah is carrying like a million suitcases, like a Disney cartoon. And Angela's holding like one eye, like a magazine. Like, so much to carry from one day, especially without your tea. I need my daily inspiration.
She is so ab fab, but not fabulous. Yeah, like, at least on ab fab, they're like hilarious.
Ab drab.
Like, darling. What are your things to do? You know, write down things. I want things not on places, you know, clear spaces. Call Lulu! All right, I want an ad for tables.
Yeah.
Let's make an ad for tables.
Keep the business going. Business.
It makes me laugh so hard. She's like, even though we're on vacation, we work, darling. Yeah. Close the door, dear. Oh, Leah's so excited to be here. And Leah's like, like, all right, start taking notes. Fashion show, designers, fake iPhone calls. All right, then, I'm going to be on this couch. Do it. I need to rest for a moment.
Yeah. She's like, Leah can't believe how beautiful the villa is. She's so excited to spend her entire time inside here working. Leah's like, wrong, 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 bitty patapon.
So then Louise and Anne are... Whatever, we can skip
talking
this. Although I wanted to say, this is basically Potomac. So
yeah,
Potomac steals a lot from other shows, okay? They've always done that because, you know, they're new. Well, I guess they're not new anymore, but you know what I mean. But really, you guys even steal from Auckland? Like, really?
Yeah, pretty much.
Same exact thing. It's the same exact plot line and dilemma or whatever. And Louise even says, and says,
just because you plan the trip doesn't mean you get first choice.
And she says, actually, that is what it means. I'm the queen. Please bring out plastic crowns like they did on Real Housewives of Potomac.
Maybe next time if you threw an acting workshop, you'd get the nice room.
Yes. And it's even a boat trip versus whatever the other thing is. It's so weird. So Gilda goes into her room and she's like, oh, nice room with bath. It's self-contained. I'm very happy. And so she sits on the bed, and Julie comes in.
I want this one.
Yeah, Julia's like, that's so not fair.
Give me one good reason to give you this room.
We should mention, by the way, when they walk into the room, they were walking up a staircase, and Julia was directly behind Gilda. And because Gilda stepped into the room first, she's like, "Find his keepers. It's mine."
Losers, I forget the rhyme, but you can go now.
So Julia doesn't want to be basically in the room with two single beds in them. And then they're like, "Give me one good reason why you should have this room." And she's like, "Because I'm blonde. I'm the only blonde one." Which was an uncomfortable moment, considering she was with two minorities in there.
Yeah, she's like, oh, she starts claiming the room because bleep, 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 bleep.
Well, Gilda is also funny, too, because Gilda's like, she comes into my room and claims it. I'm like, your room? You were like a millimeter ahead of her.
And she sits on the bed, but Julia won't give it up. So she's like, I can't believe you're forcing this. I'm going to go down and share the other room because you are being ridiculous. She goes, I'm not the kind of person who stands there and argues over hotel rooms. Yeah, you're the kind of person to like happen to walk in first and sit on the bed.
Yeah, and then be like, it's yours. Meanwhile, Angela, getting down to the important work of her lifestylist firm, she's bossing around Leah, and she's like, all right, Leah, I'd like to have a green tea, but here's what I would like. I'd like to have half cold tea, half hot tea. Do you understand that? Do you understand the difference in temperatures? Leah's like, oh, je ne sais quoi.
Oh, Leah, let's celebrate with hot and cold tea. Look at where we are, and look at what we've done.
Like, you're at a hotel
on someone
because
else's tab.
Someone rented a room for you. Yeah. You idiot.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, back in the other villa where the three ladies are, and they have put aside their bed bickering to basically focus all their attention on making fun of Angela. And Julia's basically saying that Angela feels picked on, which is why she brought Leah. And the others are like, ugh.
Yeah, Gilda goes, if she feels picked on, then bring a therapist or a friend. And Julia says, well, maybe she hasn't got any.
I mean, Julia really is just a wackadoo, too.
She is, and she plays both sides. Julia is like an evil woman.
Yes.
An evil, awful woman.
And Gilda, well, as Gilda puts it, this Julia has no backbone. She's here, she's there, she's up, she's down.
She walks like jellyfish.
She's like a jellyfish. No one wants to eat this. And Michelle, she'll talk behind anyone's back. He did not trust a flip-flopper.
And you don't trust flip-flops either. I will never wear them.
So Angela...
All this flip-flop... What is this?
What
is your name? Flip Flop is your brand. What is your name?
All right, my name is Birkenstock.
So now, back to Angela, bossing Leah around with fake things. She's like, all right, here's what we're going to do, Leah. Well, let's keep the wheels turning. Let's crack that before dinner time. Business, business, cookie crumble. All right? Milk.
All right, go for the gold. I'm going to dinner, all right?
Be opening the kimono on this, am I right?
She's so like, the jogging, woman
jogging,
in.
Jogging.
The woman comes in after carrying that thing, bosses this poor bitch around from a couch where she's closing her eyes and meditating, and then leaves her to do all the work.
Yeah, and then on top of that, she's like, this is really good. Leah's really learning how to juggle so many balls in the ear all at once. But I'm just going to chillax here before I go see the Gales. And she's like on the couch like, Leah's like, she's like a cartoon with like the stacks of papers like over her head falling over her.
Yes. And meanwhile, Angela's like throwing up leaves in the air.
I'm scented. My face is scented. You know what? I'm going to think of some more inspiration. Today, when you open up a can of soda, what you do is you put your finger under the latch and you pull, and it opens up, and the fizz will come out. And remember to let yourself out, too.
That's why I've got over 800 followers. All right?
On a side note, I would like to congratulate the ladies of Auckland for finally getting the word chillax. sent over there.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the second time we've heard it this season. Yeah. Of course, the first time it was from Gilda, and she's like, she needs to chillax. So the girls are going to some bar. They sit at this patio table, and Gilda's like, I can't wait to get my hands on that cocktail. And the guy spills them, and Julia's like, I spilled him. And as he left, I thought, mine is still on that tray. Don't leave. Don't leave. And then goes, could you imagine how he felt?
I'll speak to him in French and find out what's really going on in his brain.
So, Julia, the shitster.
Well, I think we should play a game, ladies. How about we play the game I Have Never?
Which is not what it's called. It's called Never Have I Ever, but go on.
What's the point of this game? To get annoyed? I win. All-time champion here.
Well, it's all about hidden secrets.
Yes, go
on. So one person says something, and if you have done the thing, you take a drink. And if you haven't done the thing, you don't take a drink. All right, I'll go first. I have never done my hair. It's true, I've never done my hair.
Anne's like, I have never started my silverware service from the inside out.
And Gilda's like struggling the entire time, by the way. She's like, what? Huh? What? Huh?
Well, I don't understand coordination.
What do I drink now? What?
How am I supposed to do all of these things at one time?
How am I supposed to play game, drink wine, and look condescendingly at Angela?
How can I pull off dismissive, disgusted, and pat my head and rub my belly at the same time? This game.
So Angela's like, I have never had a boob job. And Louise drinks. They're like, Louise!
She goes, well, my goal in breast job was proportion. I have a huge ass, and they've been mentioned in the press, so I'm grateful for my boob job. It's like, okay.
Well, listen. That Sensodyne commercial doesn't book itself.
Who's going to want white teeth off a lady with saggy boobs? Right? Get them done, girls.
Nine out of ten dentists agree. Get a boob job.
I like how Louise can really up the ante. She's like, I have never been a vegetarian.
Wow, she's wild.
Yeah. And Michelle's like, I had never had a one-night stand. And Julia's like, well, I'm surprised to hear that she isn't, because she and her husband are animals. They should definitely have had a one-night stand.
Never have I ever sat in lawn furniture before. Drink!
Never have I ever had an affair.
And Anne drinks.
And Anne, like,
and then no one knows what to do because they're like, maybe she was just thirsty. Like, maybe she doesn't know how to play the game or whatever.
Maybe she didn't hear it right. And she's like, I've had an affair and slept with a married man.
Well, she looks at the camera for a long time and then she goes, well.
Well, what else? He had bad macarons. No offense to the chef.
Angela drank. And Gilda's like, guess who drink? Angela.
So everyone's like, whoa.
She goes, da course.
No, literally, she looks like a horse who's dark. But so everyone's like, oh my God, Angela had an affair. Okay, finally, the walls are coming down. We're starting to get the real Angela. And Angela's like, yes, when I was 17. I had an affair. They must think I'm pretty prim and proper, the conservative South Islander. But I'm not. I'm quite worldly, actually, girls. And then she does that creepy grin. They're like, you were 17.
I've always been with older guys, you know. 2 or 3 years older.
And then, like, doesn't quite count when you're only 17. You barely even know yourself at that point. I knew my brand, though. Smile, 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 blink, blink.
Julia's husband was married to Fred Flintstone before they even met. That's marrying an old man.
And just like, who hasn't fallen in love with the company of an older another man? I was like, what? Huh?
These ladies like are that. So silly.
So then Louise is like, ding, ding. I've put a lot of thought and expense into this, ladies, and I've got an announcement. I've chartered a boat. And Anne goes, how big?
She goes, a whopper.
It's actually a boat that looks like a whopper. It's from the Burger King family.
It's a floating whopper, girls.
All the safety tubes look like onion rings.
Hold the pickles. Hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us.
All we care is that you let us have us your way. I got that one because of the whoppers I carried on my chest. I'd like to thank my boob job doctor.
So then Angela decides to chime in with her own one-upping, and she's like, ding, 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 ding. I've organized a helicopter ride in between all my busy work and scheduling and committees and boardrooms, etc. And Anne goes, I love helicopters.
Julia's like, me too. I have to perform one on my husband every time we're getting ready to...
Shut up. Everyone's like, stop talking.
She goes, we're going to go by helicopter to a fabulous place called Silky Oaks Lodge, where all the celebrities go.
They even have swimming pools in their foyers. All those rich and famous people.
Have you ever had your butt cleaned by 5 different jets?
Rich and famous.
So Louise is all angry because she feels like Angela just stole her thunder.
Yes.
And Angela's happy because she just stole Louise's thunder.
Yeah, pretty much. And then Gilda's like, oh, God, is this meditation? They'll lock us in a room together and make us hold hands. Not chanting for me.
No, thank you.
And Anne says,
Lou seemed a bit pipped.
And Lee says, well, if it's better than the road trip, I'll be pipped. And Gilda's like, well, Gilda's like, she could have announced her trip the next day. And then Julia's thrilled. She's like, ooh, Angela hijacks Louise's trip. Jesus Christ, you ladies are sick.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible. I mean, this next episode, I'm going to strap on my seatbelts because this episode was actually pretty tame. This was the first episode this season where they weren't fully fighting. But next week, it's going to be rough. It's going to be very rough. Rough seas ahead for that boat trip, that's for sure.
Well, what else we got going on today, Ben?
We got our Crappins mailbag. Crappins mailbag is when people can write in questions and comments, and we'll read them on the air. You go to patreon.com/watchourcrappins and support the show at the Crappins mailbag level. Woo!
Woo!
What fun!
So, I don't know, that caught me off guard. So, here's a question from our dear, sweet Justinian, writing to us all the way from Asia. And hi, Justinian, to you and all your coworkers, because I know that he and his coworkers listen together. So,
hello,
DreamWorks, people of DreamWorks. So, he says, so proud of you both, Ben and Ronnie. Here's my question. 50 years from now, which Real Housewives franchise do you think will be considered the most iconic, and why?
Oh, man. The most iconic. I think you're a better historian to open that floodgate up.
Well, as a history major, I shall. Part of me wants to say Real Housewives of Orange County, because that's the one that kicked it off. It's the OG, right? So I feel like Orange County in certain ways will be iconic for what it created and its huge effect on not only Bravo, not only this franchise, but a lot of other franchises and like knockoffs. You know, the Real Housewives became something that what's interesting about the Real Housewives in my mind is that I feel like they kind of changed the game in terms of not just like, oh, we'll have like five ladies fighting, but this idea that you could have a franchise on all year long, but you have different versions of it. So the brand, like Angel's brand, but like the Housewives brand is always front and center, but it's never burning out. You know, it's like, it's because other reality shows in the past have done things where they'll air two seasons in 1 year and it gets to be too much. And then it just implodes really quickly. Look at Jersey Shore, for instance, but Big Brother, you know, American Idol for a quick second there. So I think Orange County will be remembered, but in terms of entertainment value, two of them, probably Atlanta and New York. I think those will be iconic for things, you know, like we'll never forget Portia accusing Candy of having a sex dungeon and trying to rape her. We're not going to forget Scary Island. I mean, that's why we're recapping it at our live show, because it's Scary Island. You know, Beverly Hills is I think a maybe, because Dinner Party from Hell is still like, that's an iconic episode. But I think all the shit that's happened on New York City, all the shit that's happened on Atlanta, episode after episode, season after season.
In the future, they're going to, like when they say, oh my God, you guys, in the past, there were these shows called The Housewives. So let's take a look. They will always, always, always show the clip of Teresa flipping that table.
They will.
Always. I think that will be the most iconic clip ever to explain what The Housewives is.
That'll be the most iconic clip. And I think, I actually think Dinner Party from Hell is probably the most iconic episode overall. But I think when people think about franchises of like pure entertainment value, it's going to be New York or Atlanta, because they just provide. Orange County's up there too. I mean, at this point, Orange County has 10 plus years under its belt. It has a lot of shit in there too. But that's a really interesting question. I'm excited to see. By the way, if people are still talking about these shows 50 years from now, that's going to be a little sad.
It'll probably be like chubby chain smoking me, like bitter me, who's like 92, sitting around like, well, I'll tell you about the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
I think they'll talk about Vanderpump Rules actually the most, believe it or not. I mean, I still think in season one, season two of Vanderpump Rules is iconic. That's like, that goes in the Library of Congress for me. You know?
What else is in there, Ben?
Okay, Lola Del Rio says, I'm tired of feuding housewives who refuse to film with one another. Yes, you, Shannon and Vicky. I remember having to figure out how to work with shitty coworkers. Any chance Andy can work that clause into future contracts? I'm convinced the Bravo people listen to you, so here's hoping they'll pass on this note. Love you guys so much, and I'm so happy that the rest of the Bravo universe is finally catching on to your awesomeness. Heart, 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 heart.
Love you, Lola.
Thanks, Lola. I agree. They have to learn how to do that.
I don't know how they can make a clause about it, because like half their scheming is about who they will and won't shoot with, you know, like that's most of their game plan throughout the seasons. But it really is getting bad with Orange County. Bad. I mean, Tamara, the greatest thing about this past week's episode is Tamara really did realize, like, look, I haven't done shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Like I've done nothing this year. I've got to show up with some charro hair and possum eyes, get drunk, and scream at somebody. I'll do it. Fine, I'll go. Mm-hmm. So she came ready to do it, but then Vicky left. So it's like they have to. Vicky and Tamara are both horrible human beings, and we know that, and we still want to watch it. So I know it sucks, like when your only thing is having fights, and that's not why we should want to watch it. And I like it when it's not all about fights. But right. Tamara doesn't have anything to do but fight. And Vicky doesn't either. Well, at least Vicky gets to chase kids around now. But Tamara, it's like a baby that comes in the mail for a while. And then it's like all this, you know, it's race. Just shit that's terrible.
Yeah, I agree. I think actually what Orange County should do is maybe take a page from New York. Because this season of New York was kind of like, it was, you know, it's always entertaining, but there wasn't really a through line. So what did they do? They said, okay, we are going to put you guys on vacation for the entire second half of the season. You're going to go to Vermont. You're going to go to the Berkshires. You're going to go to Mexico. And it's like, you guys are forcing you into a house. And I think in seasons like this where people aren't really interacting, force them together.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's...
Because New York, they're like, look, people really don't want to sit there and watch Bethany talk to her secretaries or assistants all day. We tried that. Doesn't work. So she either has to be taking Carol to Chinatown or making a group lunch or having a party. You know, it's like, keep that personal shit to a minimum, unless it's really funny.
Yeah. But by the way, also, everyone, like, don't give up on Orange County. I just want to say that, too, because I think one thing about these shows is that the enjoyment of them, I feel like, is really impacted by the buzz that they have. If everyone's like, oh, my God, this show is amazing, you're going to, like, love it. You're going to love every detail. But if people are like, it's boring, it sucks, it's boring, it's like, it's easy to start watching and be bored. It's like, at least that is for me. I feel like people don't give up yet. We only had the Quiet Woman episode like 3 weeks ago. There's, you know, and before the Quiet Woman, we had the fight with Shannon and Lydia at the party. The season started off really strong. We may just be in like a sort of like a little bit of a lull. Let's just let it breathe a little bit before we write it off.
Well, I don't care if they're fighting all the time, as long as they're funny. I think one of the good things they did with Shannon Bedore when they hired her, she's wacko. Yeah. She lived in a like gazillion-dollar house that was green, but was so ridiculous because it's like the air conditioning alone probably put a hole somewhere in the ozone. Mm-hmm. And then she's cuckoo. She goes to Dr. Moon and gets all that shit. She's a total emotional basket case, like, and she's funny in her one line. Like, they actually got someone fun. So even if you're just watching Shannon make toast, you know, bruschetta, that was really fun. But the other people can't really keep that going. I mean, Lydia did the car thing this week.
Well, that's the problem. Actually, I think here's the problem. You know, the not filming with each other is definitely a problem, but that's a problem if all you have to rely on are the fights. But these people don't really have anything going on. I mean, Vicky's moving offices. That's her storyline. Lydia is watching her husband launch a magazine. That's what she's doing. Tamara actually has something going on with her daughter. That's more real. And Shannon actually has something going on with her weight. Kelly has nothing going on. Like, she's trying to get her mom into a senior center. Megan has nothing going on. She has a baby, which is, yes, it's probably a very... It's probably a very, not universal experience, but everyone's gone through that, but she's not bringing anything new to the table. So that the most interesting part of this season so far to me has been Shannon's weight struggles, because that's, I think, very relatable. But everyone else is just doing nothing. Nothing is going on in their lives, or they're not allowing us to see anything in their lives, and that's a problem.
Yeah. So what else is in there?
I'll tell you what else is in there. Nothing else for right now. There actually are other questions, but we're going to do them next week, because guess what? I am hungry, because all I want to do is eat, David. So let's close up the mailbag and have some lunch. Wow. We've made it to the end of the week. This was a really super fun week, as always. Ronnie, I love doing this with you.
You too. So much fun. I'm going to, you know, hopefully sleep a little bit after laughing my ass off so hard. Everybody, thanks so much for being with us. Hopefully we'll see you next week at the live show. Absolutely. And if not, well, either way, shall I say, we'll be here on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to you again.
And don't forget to weigh in about whether you'd see us in Minneapolis or Las Vegas on our Watcher Crappins Live and Lovin' It group. Go answer the poll there. And that's really useful information for us.
Everybody, we sure love you.
Bye.